And there was a firefight!
Why did you touch me?
You killed innocent people.
The means to an end.
You started a massacre.
I caused the revolution.
You betrayed the law!
I see you are practiced in worshipping things that fly.
Hulkamania is running wild like it's never ran before.
It's over 9,000!
What?
Rise before Zod.
Bitches leave.
Kneel before Zod.
Oh, this is the worst looking hat I ever saw. Well, you buy a hat like this, I bet you get a free bowl of soup, huh?
Remember, there's always madness. Woohoo! Madness is the emergency exit.
Here it comes! A little going away present for you!
Welcome, everybody, to Capes and Scows, episode number 21. 21, Leander.
It's a pretty big deal.
It is a big deal.
That's when you can start drinking.
Yeah, we should start drinking. It's way too early. It's way too early. We just had breakfast. It's very full on eggs and things.
I like tequila in the morning, though.
Tequila in the morning?
A shot
of
tequila.
You love your tequila.
I do like tequila.
You like tequila like I like whiskey. I can't do whiskey in the morning.
No?
No. I'm not a drinker in the morning. My stomach does not agree
with
that.
Can't handle it?
No. At night, my stomach's like, fuck it, bring it on.
Right. You know. You probably can't handle it at night either, but you're too drunk to realize it.
Correct.
Until the morning time.
That's fine.
Mm-hmm.
I know. That's fine.
Yes. Well, we're 21 now, so we can do that.
21. So, if you may have noticed that there's no snappy remark from Lou, that's because he's not here.
No Lou.
Yeah, no Lou. Lou was unavailable today, and our fill-ins were also unavailable, so...
You just got us, folks.
You got us. It's good. It's what we call the good enough. The good old good enough. So, we'll just get our plugs out of the way. That I'm on Twitter. Mad_dog_Tim. Facebook. We're on iTunes. You know, rate, review, all that happy stuff.
Mm-hmm.
We're on all your podcast apps and devices and things.
Just search our name and you'll find us.
Yep, we should come up. And our website is www.capesandscowspodcast.com. If you want to get in touch with us, it's capesandscowspodcast@gmail.com. Anything else we need to plug? Anything else you can
plug? We should probably let everyone know that we've updated our logo.
We did update our logo.
Yeah, so you'll see a different logo coming out soon. So if you don't already see it, it's coming soon.
Yep.
If you have any comments about it, especially about it looking like Space Ghost, go to our Facebook feed and go ahead and leave some comments.
I think my exact words are, I really like Space Ghost, but I don't want it to look too much like Space Ghost. But it has to have a cape and a cowl is kind of important. And when you're, it's funny. It's funny. Like, I don't know how else we could have done it to look, because it looks the way I wanted it to look. But I don't know what else you could have done to make it not look like a Batman or a Space Ghost or anything. I think it's fine. I don't really care.
It'll do.
It will do.
It'll do.
I'm pretty sure Hannah and or Barbara are both dead. So I think we're good.
Yes. For now. And it's not technically Space Ghost anyways.
It's not Space Ghost.
I mean, it's basically, but it's not. Yeah. So we won't get in trouble yet. Yeah.
Not yet. It's fine.
Mm-hmm.
I'll fight tooth and nail for it. Maybe a nail. Not a tooth.
Not a tooth.
Need my teeth. So, let's see here. One thing I'd like to plug is our dear friend Max Devonshire from the Poor Man's Process from Superliminal Films.
We love Max.
We love Max a lot. He is my podcast son. his short story, Eternity, was a runner-up on ChillingTalesForDarkNights.com, which is a fan submission site where you win different things, and he was a runner-up.
Wow.
I read his story. I liked it. It's a good short horror. It's all horror stories for the most part.
Mm-hmm.
By the name of the site. Which,
right.
Again, Chilling Tales for Dark Knights. Knights like night, not like Batman Dark Knight. So
That's important to say.
That is important to say on this podcast.
On this podcast, that's critical.
So way to go, Max. You're my boy.
We love you, Max.
Love you, Max. And, so that's it. So, hey, how are you? Let's talk about you.
What, me?
Yeah, let's start with you.
All right, fine. I'm good.
I don't know why you got so confused.
I am confused right now.
Where am I?
I'm so confused. So I'm thinking about moving to a new location, which is pretty interesting. It's one of those transitions in life where you kind of have to make a decision for what makes you happy. Mm-hmm. And you know, a lot of people spend times making other people happy, and at some point you got to realize it's all about you. I mean, not in, like, a selfish way, but, like, you can't even, like, be a good person for other people if you're not happy yourself.
Right. So, I think a lot of people make that mistake.
Yeah, I think a lot of people make that mistake as well, yeah. We all tend to do things for other people when we should be thinking about ourselves, because Lord knows they're thinking about themselves, so they're not really caring about you as much as you care about you, or should care about you.
Right.
So anyways, gonna make some changes, gonna make some moves, and hopefully all for the better. So I'm excited about that.
Now let me just clarify, we will Skype Leander in if he moves too far.
If like, necessary.
He's not gonna be gone.
Right, all right, right.
Or maybe we'll start a I don't know, let's just say Western podcast wing.
Right.
You'll have Leander.
Alright, and that's not good because everyone immediately starts thinking about West Coast Avengers, and so automatically like, oh, the other podcasts on the West Coast.
Hey man, Moon Knight was on the West Coast Avengers. It's okay.
Yes. I made it better.
That was, like, the only good run of the West Coast Avengers.
Yeah.
That middle run that had him and Hank Pym. But anyways, I see your point. So, yeah, all right, no West Coast.
Not West Coast. We'll figure something out.
West Coast capes. Not happening.
Yeah, but I'm not going that far away as of right now, so you still got
this is me. This is a long-term projection.
Yes.
So that's good. Well, I'm looking into the moving thing as well, I guess, you know. Yes. But I don't know. I'm local. I'm going to stay local, so it doesn't matter.
You're so Jersey.
I don't want to be.
With your Scrapple.
My Scrapple. I love Scrapple.
Scrapple, by the way, it does not exist in any other state or universe besides New Jersey.
I feel that's wrong.
I don't think it exists anywhere else.
I feel like farms exist elsewhere, and I feel like they make Scrapple. Because they're like, we got all this left over. What do we do? Let's just grind it together and feed it to morons.
They make hot dogs or Spam or something.
Spam is like right there.
That's yeah,
like
but it's cousin. Not. But Scrapple is different.
Yeah, it tastes good.
I don't know what to call Scrapple. So if you've also never heard of Scrapple, go on our Facebook and tell us all about how you don't understand Scrapple.
Google it and tell me if it exists elsewhere in your region.
Yes, if you live anywhere besides New Jersey and you eat Scrapple because you weren't originally from New Jersey, you actually live in a place that just somehow has Scrapple, please also let us know, because I assume that only New Jersey has Scrapple. So if you are a non-New Jerseyan,
I just think you weren't looking for it. You've been all over the world, all over the country, right. And I feel like Scrapple exists in every single one of those places.
I'm pretty sure it does not.
I'm pretty sure I had to ask for it off that menu and it wasn't on the menu.
Yeah, but...
So maybe that's what it is.
It's on so many menus, though.
It's like watching a seedy 8mm film in a basement somewhere. You gotta ask for it.
That's a little creepy, but okay.
I'm sorry, I was just actually thinking of the movie 8mm, which is awful. Don't watch it.
I won't.
Good.
We'll have Ryan Young watch it.
There you go. Ryan Young over at Ryan Hates Movies.
Yes.
His podcast is doing good.
Good. I like it.
As it should. He got a new logo as well.
Oh, nice. Nice.
Yeah. So I guess we'll get into it if
sure.
you want to get into it. Do you want to get into it?
Whoa, calm down.
You want to get into it?
Well, not with those sexy eyes. Can you calm down for a second?
I'm sorry. They were stuck open by the sleepy eyes. All right. So I don't have a ton of news, so this will be fun. We're gonna have fun today.
We're gonna have fun today.
No Lou bringing us down.
No, none of that Lou stuff.
Love you, Lou. First quick little thing. James Gunn has finished his script for Guardians of the Galaxy 2. His first draft is 100% handed in, and everyone's reviewing it.
Nice.
So you, I recall, did not really like the first Guardians. Mm-hmm. You didn't like hate it.
Right.
You didn't love it. Because some people were like, greatest movie ever. Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think so many people felt that way because there was no expectation of it.
Mm-hmm.
Because nobody knows those characters, really.
Right.
It's like, could I pick them out on a lineup? Yes, I could. But do I know a ton about all these characters?
Mm-hmm.
No. And nobody else did either.
Right. Right.
Honestly.
Yeah. No. They did amazing for sales, that's for sure.
Yeah. And I did like the movie. I don't think it's the most amazing thing ever, but it was one of the most enjoyable Marvel movies. It was just fun.
Mm-hmm.
I took my wife to it. We had a date night in Soul Guardians, which we average one date night a year, so that was nice that we got to waste that on Guardians.
Right. Like how you said waste, but continue.
Yeah, no, it's like, we could go out to have steak and do that. No, Guardians. Really greasy popcorn and Guardians. So that being said, that's really the only news for that story, but what would you think needs to happen from a Guardians 2? Because if you're thinking grand scheme of Marvel movies, you have Guardians and Thor that are most likely to introduce some of these cosmic things that you kind of need for Thanos. Because if he just shows up one day, which he could do.
Right.
But, like, you need a little more character, I think, introduced.
Yeah, I think, I don't know, it's really tough to say what Guardians needs to get better. Maybe this next one needs to be a little bit more darker and serious, I think, would be nice.
Yeah.
Just a little bit. Just a little bit. I mean, I know I get it. It's the whole point of Peter Quill. That's his deal, is that he's not, for the most part. But something a little bit more, something a little bit darker. Because to me, it all felt very campy, for the most part. For some reason, it just felt campy. Again, the part where he started dancing in front of whoever that character was, Ronan, yeah. That was probably, like, the pinnacle of everything. Like, yeah, all right, you just solidified every horrible feeling I feel about this movie. Now, the fact that the rest of the team didn't dance made it a little bit better, but it still was like, I can't deal with
this.
But
did you see the special feature where they all start dancing?
Yes, I did see that. Hilarious. I did see that. It was hilarious.
I agree. I think the most important thing that Guardians can do is try to explain the Infinity Gems more. Because Thor, at the end of Avengers 2, Thor, even though they cut pretty much the whole scenes that involve this, he is aware of the Infinity Gems, and he's going to go investigate and all that. So him, along with the Guardians, are the only ones who have any idea about the gems. So it would make sense that they go and they try to find more out about the gauntlet.
Right.
They need to. They need to establish that more for the non-comic fan who's like, what's up with this stupid glove?
Right.
So
right.
I feel that's the most important thing that Guardians should focus on. Maybe Thor, you know, kicks that point home when Thor Ragnarok comes out later.
Right. Yeah, no, that makes sense. I mean, a little bit more on, they should give a little more time to Rocket and Groot as well. I feel like they didn't give as much time as they could have on the last movie. And I think they did it because they probably knew that those two characters were probably going to be the most, you know, adored characters on that show. I think this one would be great to have some, a little bit more of an origin story for Groot, Rocket and Groot.
That would be cool. I would love a flashback of Groot's origin and it's just people saying their name.
Yeah.
I am this. I am that. It'd be awesome.
That would be awesome. Yes.
But who knows?
Who knows?
The new... this isn't a review because I didn't finish reading the book, but the Groot number one came out. I bought it and I was thumbing through it. I didn't get to read it yet, but I just wondered if it was going to be like almost a silent issue outside of him saying I am Groot. But basically Rocket was there too and Rocket carries the dialogue. I was like, I just kind of wanted it to be like, I am Groot. Right. And then like things are happening.
Yep.
And he's like, I am Groot. Maybe in a future issue they'll do that.
Maybe.
That would be great if when Rocket's around, there's dialogue, but when he's not, there's no just dialogue.
No dialogue at all.
I think that would be great.
Yeah, it would be great.
The artist has to really pick it up, I guess, for the story to make sense, though.
That's true. There's not many good artists like that can do that.
You are not wrong on that one. So moving forward, there's been a big development in the Star Wars comic, and people are kind of losing their minds over
it. Oh, jeez.
I don't know if this is going to be in the movies or not, and everybody's like, I don't know, but it could be because Marvel owns Star Wars and everything, and Marvel's got this comic. Issue, I believe it's 6, the newest issue of Star Wars. Han Solo.
Okay.
It was revealed, and this takes place again between Star Wars and Empire, I believe. He has a wife.
Of course he does.
He has a wife. So the whole time he's been trying to get Princess Leia and all that stuff, he has a wife. Now, they didn't give it a lot of context. It could be like they're not together or they're separated and she's just a lunatic.
Sure.
You don't know.
Right.
But she shows up coming out of a starship in the end of the issue, guns pointed at everybody, and she's like, I am Sana Solo. And
now, does that mean wife? Isn't it could it mean kid?
Says wife.
Oh.
She says
okay.
Wife. Yeah.
All right.
One thing you'll probably enjoy,
Black
character.
All right, just because I'm black?
No. No. It's very important. There was only, like, 2 black characters in the whole damn trilogy in a galaxy far, far away. You had more green and purple people than you had black. It was Lando and no one. So I thought that was awesome
for
a main character to be in an interracial marriage as well. I was, like, awesome.
Well played.
Yes. But yes, because you're black. I thought that was kind of cool. I don't know if this is like, we're going to throw her in a movie. Like, I know there's already rumors of some characters that the book revealed prior maybe I think it was Invader, they revealed a character that's rumored or casted for one of the Star Wars movies.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's why people are very like, oh my God, my Star Wars universe is so different than I remember, and
right.
things like that.
Well, there's clearly a black lead in the new Star Wars movie, so this could be the could family line.
Could be. Yeah, absolutely. That would be interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see, where do we go now? Let's do this story. This is the one that you dread. Marvel, all new, all different teasers. They released two images with characters that are rumored to be around after the Secret Wars event ends. I want your opinion before I give you mine, so I'll just tell you the information. You tell me what you feel.
Here we go.
It launches in October, which is after Secret Wars. It's going to be 50 to 60 or so titles. It's going to pick up 8 months after the end of Secret Wars. So just imagine Secret Wars ends, and then it's 8 months later, all the stories are going to pick up from a timeline in the comic. So some of the characters revealed on these teasers.
Now, characters mean they have their book, or characters mean they're a character in a team?
It's not clear if they're getting their own specific solo book, if it's a team book.
Okay.
It could be complete BS, honestly. Like, it could be misleading. That's kind of dumb on their part.
Right.
But here's some of the characters that were revealed. There is a picture of X-23 in the classic blue and yellow Wolverine costume. There's Old Man Logan.
Interesting.
The Thing from Fantastic Four wearing a black uniform that has the Guardians of the Galaxy symbol on it.
Okay.
Daredevil, his costume is kind of reversed where it's more black and the letters are in red. It is kind of similar to his Netflix costume, but a little different. There is a younger version of Doctor Strange wielding a giant axe. Right.
Okay.
So that's some of the newer stuff. Iron Man is front and center on both teaser images. And the rumor is that that's the flagship title going forward. Iron Man is going to be crucial important in the Marvel U. It is a red and yellow suit. It is a brand new looking suit. Similar enough to the classic style, but it is a new version because God knows he has to have 7 million versions.
Of course.
But it isn't the superior version. So that's worth noting. And on July 1st, Marvel is going to have a free magazine in comic shops that is going to reveal all the titles so that people know what they want if they want to order the Marvel books. That's it. So that being said, how do you feel with some of these examples that showed up on these teaser images, these posters? How do you feel about this?
Okay.
He's really taking this in.
Okay.
This is going to be hard for him.
All right. I had a whole rant prepared today, by the way, about this.
Okay. Well, that's good, because it's... I got news on it.
I don't know how I feel, to be quite honest. To be completely honest, when I was talking to... On the last podcast, when Lou was here, I was saying that I might cancel everything, and he was like, stop being dramatic. Blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
No, I think I'm ready to cancel Marvel.
Yeah.
I think I'm ready to cancel Marvel. I'm going to cancel Marvel. I'm going to cancel all my Marvel titles. And I'm going to spend more time in other companies. I'm going to spend more time at the comic book store picking up old issues of Marvel stuff that I really missed out on that I wanted to enjoy.
30 North Main Street, Glassboro, New Jersey.
Yes, the comic book store. And I think I'd rather spend my time and money on buying back issues and having a good time and reading the books I want to read instead of being forced to read things that I don't really think I care for, but that because it's Marvel, I have to read it. So, I'm not saying everyone should go throw away Marvel, and, you know, I'm saying that's a personal decision for myself. I just don't, like what happened. I really left a horrible taste in my mouth, the way they did it, the way they tried to pull it together, the way that they're pulling it together in these issues. There are some good issues, let me not say that. Like, the one I'm reading today, it was great, but it feels fake for me to read these books and try to feel any sort of emotion about trying to care about them.
Right, it's really hard. That is the hardest part, I agree.
Yeah.
You pretty much said how I've been feeling for a while, mm-hmm. where it's like, I'm just going to get what I want. I'm going to buy back issues of stories I know I want to read.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I've bought so much of the Secret Wars already, and it's like, I really don't want to. If I didn't have this podcast, I wouldn't have.
That's exactly what I said to myself, too. And that's not a good enough reason. So I'd rather that I pick up an issue here and there for the podcast than to try and put it in my bin, you know? Mm-hmm. Marvel doesn't need to be in my bin right now. It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah. And that might be for the best, because, I mean, we don't review a lot of DC, really.
Right.
And I'm like, but we don't trash it either.
Right, we never trash
it. We're never it, yeah. like, oh, man, that DC, I can't read it. Like, I read a lot of DC before the New 52,
mm-hmm.
and I just didn't like it as much afterwards.
Yeah, that's but all it
it's
is.
It's not bad.
Right.
Just not for me. It's just not for the for most me. Part.
Exactly.
So, I don't know. For me, as a collector of several Marvel titles over the years, like, I still kind of want, if there's a Moon Knight book, I'm still going to do it.
Yeah.
You know?
If there's a Jubilee, I'll do it.
Right. So you're just going to need your specific things.
Very, extremely specific, and nothing else outside of that.
Yeah.
Until they force me to do it, because Jubilee's on 5 different teams all of a sudden.
It could happen.
So if Moon Knight was on 5 different teams, you would have 5 different books.
No, probably not. He was on Secret Avengers, and I didn't read it.
Interesting.
And that was actually a pretty good book for him.
It was a really good book, actually.
And I still didn't. I might go back and get it now, but mm-hmm. like at the time, I'm like, I can't. Because it always comes back to, I read too much.
Right.
And I can't.
Right.
So, but like, yeah, I always read Moon Knight, I always read Daredevil. I'll probably keep reading Howard the Duck, because mm-hmm. I like Howard the Duck.
Mm-hmm.
But like, certain things I'll keep getting, and I just can't care enough about some of these characters.
Yeah.
I've never really been an Avenger guy. An X-Men guy, it's the mm-hmm. same thing. You never get a team that you fully are behind.
Right.
And that's kind of why, like, I always gravitated towards X-Factor. Because they're already, like, the underdog characters of the right. universe. It's right. like, yeah, okay. Got
Interesting.
It.
Yeah, I should probably read more X-Factor. And there's some X-Men that I missed out on that had Jubilee on it that had a really good team.
Mm-hmm.
Like, when they had Gold and Blue yeah. X-Men, that was great. That was a yep. good time.
A lot of people referenced that.
Yeah.
I've been hearing that a lot, working in a comic book store. I've been hearing that a lot as of late.
Yeah. You're
like, why can't it just be like that again?
Mm-hmm. That was a good time. And there were tons of mutants at that point.
Yep.
Like, there's tons of mutants now, but they're, like, useless.
Right.
So, back then, there were a ton of superhero X-Men. Now, it's just a bunch of X-Men and a bunch of kids.
Bunch of kids.
Yeah. And it's just not
I
want
to watch a book about babysitting.
No, it's just not really interesting to me. I'm over my teen angst phase, so.
Right.
Anyway, so the list that you just gave, very interesting, sounds very exciting for people who are going to stay with Marvel. They should definitely consider checking that out.
Yeah. I agree, man. I'm not super thrilled, but I'm not like, I don't know. My key books I'm in. It's just mm-hmm. that simple.
Yeah.
So we're on our final news story.
All right.
Ready?
Mm-hmm.
The World Video Game Hall of Fame has announced its inaugural class. It's at a museum, which is called The Strong. I thought that was weird, name that. But it's in Rochester, New York, and it is a history museum. They're adding a video game wing, and the initial inaugural class, they let fans narrow it down to 15 options,
mm-hmm.
choices,
mm-hmm.
and then they picked 6 out of the 15.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So we had an influence on it, people, if you knew about this ahead of time, which I didn't. So, do you want to take a guess at any of these that could possibly be in here? It's any system, any... And it just has to have been some sort of a worthy game of note.
All right. Well,
you know,
I mean,
something that influenced popular culture.
Of course. I mean, obviously, it's Zelda, it's Mario, it's Donkey Kong, it's probably Sonic.
I'll tell you right now, you only got one.
Shut your mouth. That's ridiculous.
No.
All right, fine. I mean, they wouldn't go far back as, like, Q-Bert, and they wouldn't go to, like, Pitfall, which would be another one.
I'll tell you right now, mm-hmm. it doesn't necessarily have to be old. And at first when I read this, I was like, eh? But then they explained it, and I was like, huh. So.
All right. Then, if that's the case, my last guess is anything Final Fantasy. All right, go.
All right, so you still only got one. The one you got was Super Mario Brothers.
Okay.
The original Super Mario Brothers. The other ones were Pac-Man.
Mm, of course, I should have said that.
The original Pong.
Interesting. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Tetris.
Yes, oh my god, I love Tetris.
Now, the last two are the ones I feel like people would debate.
Mm-hmm. I'm ready.
Doom for the PC.
Mm-mm.
And World of Warcraft.
What?
The original
Shut your mouth.
Warcraft.
You gotta be kidding me.
And I completely get it. Mm-hmm. I do. Doom changed PC gaming completely. Nobody used a computer for gaming before Doom. It was so limited. There was good games, but it was all little pixel games and floppy disks. And Doom really changed what a game could be, as far as first person shooters. Hmm. Between that and Wolfenstein, and it was scary for its time.
So. Yeah, it was scary.
And it was hard. It was everything you want a game to be.
Right.
So from that perspective, I could see it. World of Warcraft. There's people getting married in World of Warcraft. So like, I understand the cultural significance of World of Warcraft. I completely get it.
I do too.
Is there any game you're like, man, why couldn't that game be in?
Not really. I think those are all good choices. Yeah. I mean, I could have thrown in Mega Man, but you know. It's just another 2D scroller like Mario. So once you have Mario, you pretty much eliminate any other type of game like Mario.
I think it's good as far as an inaugural class. Plus, I know if they're going to do this every year, which I'm assuming they will, or every other year, or whatever the criteria ends up being, it's like you want an awesome game every time. Mm-hmm. Like, if I had Mega Man in this one as well, I'd be like, eh. But you tell me Mega Man's in next year, I'll care a little more.
Yeah, I think also Pitfall, I just think, should have been in there. I mean,
maybe
a lot of people log a lot of hours on Pitfall.
Petition for it, you get it in there. We'll find out when the fan voting commences for next time, and we'll do it. We'll get Pitfall in there. Yeah, I didn't have a list of the other ones that were up for grabs. It may have been on there.
You know, we should have here to talk about video game stuff.
I know, we need Dave. I know. Mm-hmm. Dave's coming back, people. Don't you worry. Don't you worry. I know everybody misses Dave. Dave, they miss you, Dave. I'm on it. Don't worry. It's happening.
Eventually.
It's happening. I talked to Dave the other day. It's happening. Don't worry. So, that's that. That's our news.
All right.
That's everything from it.
Done. Over.
Done.
News is done.
Done.
All right. What's next?
Well, I wanted to ask you a question.
Oh, boy. Here we go. This is my job. I ask questions around
I ask questions. So, sticking with the video game theme.
Okay.
I came up with a list of five, but you're on the spot, so you don't need five.
Oh, jeez.
What video games did you have the most replay value of that you beat it, and you went back, and you beat it again, and you just kept beating them? Like, you just never got tired of playing through this game.
Yeah, that's easy. Only one?
Whatever you want to tell me. I have an organized list, but I knew the question.
All right.
Well, I knew the question. I know what games I beat the most.
Yeah. Final Fantasy 3/6.
Right.
is the one I play by far of my entire lifetime. I've played that one the most.
Right.
Hours upon hours upon hours. Because one of the reasons I do that also is because it has the highest, like the largest cast of characters, one of the largest cast of characters for Final Fantasy games.
Sure.
And you can customize the names. So every time I move somewhere new, I play it all over again with all the new people I've met. Nice. So I haven't done a Tim one yet, but it'll happen soon.
We'll do it. I'm on it.
Yeah.
Now that we've brought it up. Any other games that come to mind?
I spent a ridiculous amount of time, unfortunately, on an MMO called Sword of the New World. Yeah, it was really interesting. It was more like kind of Renaissance-y looking, and you had three characters, and you got to switch out between a large cast of characters. It's called Sword of the New Coast. I think they just call it Sword now, actually. If you look it up online. It was a lot of fun. I loved it. I was a clan leader. And I said I would never play an MMO.
Whoa, you were a clan leader?
Hey, everyone calm down. Under the sheets, we all look the same. Wow. So
we're all pink inside, baby.
So that was the other game I played a lot. And then another game. Oh, Mega Man. Mega Man 3, I think it was.
3 was yours?
It was Snake Man.
Yeah. That's 3.
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome. Well, I'll tell you my 5.
All right.
And I ranked them, because I put in the... I figured it out. So number 5 for me was Super Mario World. I played the hell out of that game.
Interesting.
Number 4 was Doom 2 on the PC.
Interesting.
I played the hell out of that, too. Because if it's like, I'm bored, let's just put on these codes and just shoot things and whatever.
Right.
Castlevania Symphony of the Night.
I've heard good stuff about it.
It's so good. And it's like, all right, every year, it's like, let's just play through this and get all the stuff and do it again. Yeah, I know where everything is, but who cares? I love this game.
Right.
As far as 2D scrolling,
it's
amazing. Street Fighter 2 Turbo, because you play as all the characters, you beat it as all the characters to get all the endings. It's not surprising that, like, a Mortal Kombat or a Street Fighter would be on a list.
Right, true.
And I am much more a Street Fighter guy than a Mortal Kombat. And number one for me is Mega Man 2.
Number two.
Number two. Will
what enemies were in there?
Metal Man, Bubble Man, Air Man, Crash Man.
Yeah, okay. All right.
Woodman. Yes. With the crazy music.
Yes. The leaf shield. I want to play Mega Man right now.
Well, we can.
Can we?
Sure.
All right.
I have the PlayStation 2 one. Perfect. That is 1 through 7.
Awesome. Podcast Ooh. Over.
Gotta find the controller. My wife may have hit that.
We'll find it.
We'll find it. So that's it for that. I also, because I've been on a video game kick, just because, I don't know, I have.
Yeah.
I played Splatoon, the new hot game on the Wii. My son got it.
Okay.
Basically, you know the little squid people that were in Mario, the little squids underwater? You're people that are like those squids.
Okay.
It's just them recycling an obscure property. What it is it's a paintball game.
Mm-hmm.
You have all these different guns. You shoot paint all over the place. You could turn into a squid and swim through your color of paint. If you go into the opposing color, and it's always different colors, it actually hurts you.
The goal,
there's all these different modes. I did beat my son right off the bat. I beat him once. I'm like, good, this isn't a thing.
Never have to play with you ever again.
Ever again. But it is a pretty cool game. It is really fun. People are going nuts over it. And now that I've played it, I see why. It's a very fun co-op game. And right. probably really good online. So that was cool.
Nice.
I also watched, I forget how I got to it. I went down the YouTube tube and ended up on a speed run of Battletoads, the original Battletoads, which is like the most impossible game ever. And to watch somebody beat it in like 30 minutes flat blew my mind. But I was like, I remember playing this when I was little, and somehow I did get to the last boss.
Yeah.
And I'm like, how close was I to winning? I have to know. So I rewatched it, and I'm like watching it, and this guy's like destroying it. And I'm like, oh my God, how did I even do this as a kid? How much? How many hours did I log into this? So I get to the end. I was at the very end.
No way.
If I had just beaten the last boss.
Pushed through, you'd have won the game.
Yep. But I didn't, and now I know what happens. So.
Now you know what happens.
And then it has a, hey, thank you for playing kind of thing. And I'm like, oh, good. Fantastic.
That's awesome. Nice.
So that's it. I guess you want to go into reviews, my
friend?
Yeah,
me as well.
I mean, we can just end it.
No. Why would you say
we
that?
We may as well.
No, right. that's a natural progression of the show, is what I'm saying.
Nothing's natural about this show. All right, well, give me one of yours, my friend, since I only got the one.
Yeah, I got three, technically. This is not real. So I guess I'll start with the Midnighter.
Okay.
Number one.
Yeah.
Recommended by Tim.
Yep.
Because I'm gay. And so
I first was introduced to Midnighter.
I was introduced to Midnighter through
Grayson. Your favorite book of
which you guys all know how I feel about Grayson. I tried it and
the
didn't work out.
Rain.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
But introduced me to Midnighter. At that point, Tim had said, as far as I heard, that the Midnighter is a clone of Batman. So he's not a clone of Batman. He's just a Batman archetype.
That's what I meant. Just because you have all the good words.
So the book Midnighter number one. I liked it. I actually liked it a lot. It has. I feel like the person who did the art for this must be similar to the guy who does Uncanny X-Force because it looks just like it. And it looks just like that sort of style.
Yeah,
it reminds me of Uncanny X-Force. So anyways, the Midnighter is a vigilante. He was created by the Gardener, which is apparently some sort of cosmic force in the DC universe, much like whatever we have in the Marvel universe.
We don't even know what we have.
I don't even know what we have in the Marvel universe. Similar. Anyways, the story opens with this old lady who's apparently the Gardener, and someone's coming to attack her and take all her stuff. And apparently the thing about the Gardener is that they... This one in particular, she has, like, every superpower tech you could ever think of. So she's using everything that she at her disposal to try and defeat this person. She can't win.
Wow.
And, she's like, Hermes' vest activate, and she can, like, run super fast. And stuff like that. So anyways, he beats her up, throws her out into the middle of space, and says, die. And apparently she lives because she had a teleporter thing in her eyelids that she had implanted there. So that was the only thing kept her alive, is she used a transporter that was in her eyelid. So she has, like, all sort of techie stuff. Even though she looks like this old Asian grandmother, like, you don't see any of the tech. She just has it somehow on her.
Okay.
Yeah. So anyways, it transitions from that in introductory kind of cosmic fighting kind of situation to the Midnighter at a bar drinking beer and apparently on a date with some guy. And okay. Midnighter is a white guy with some kind of mohawk looking strip down his head. And he's on a date with this black guy. And I'm like, all right, this could be interesting. It reminds me very much of like North Star and his partner. I'm like, all right, let's see what happens. So this is their first date. And on the first date, of course, people bust through an interdimensional portal and they try to destroy everyone at the restaurant.
Like every first
date. Yes, like every first date. It's very upsetting. So, of course, the Midnighter has to fight. Now, the Midnighter is way more violent than any sort of persons that you could think of. He's on Punisher level, probably, but way higher than Punisher, even. Mm-hmm. I would imagine so. Because he is super enhanced, super strong, so...
And he's more hand-to-hand.
He's Punisher, more hand-to-hand.
He's shooting you all the time, sure.
But exactly.
This guy's doing the damage, personally.
The first couple of things that he did... He killed every single person. The Midnighter kills every person that came in there. The first thing he did, though, was a little too campy for me, and I didn't really appreciate it. So, like, he hit someone to a table. The steak flies into the air and is flipping. And you can see the bone is still in the steak, right?
Right.
So then the steak comes down at the exact same moment that Midnighter is about to kick him in the face. So the steak, he hits the steak and then the guy's face. And then the bone goes through the guy's head and out the other side. So it was really interesting, but it was like a little too much. I'm like, all right, you don't have to add.
I guess they just wanted to show how strong he is.
Yes.
But I understand what you're saying.
It was just a little campy. All the deaths were very much like Mortal Kombat's X-ray, so you can see it in an X-ray form.
Nice.
So you can see how they died. And unlike Mortal Kombat, you actually die when an X-ray happens.
Yes. When one of those horrible things happens.
Right. So anyways, the guy apparently was like, I'm okay with that. Let's keep dating. And so they go on a second.
Tough to get a good date around the
yard. Apparently.
It's
ECU. So they go on another date, and it's definitely more, I don't know if that's the right word I want to use, but it's very raunchy almost in a good way. Like, it wasn't like horrible. It wasn't gratuitous. It wasn't any of that stuff. It was very much like how we all would be the first time we're going to have sex with the first person that we, you know, that we kind of like. It's just a little bit more aggressive than, you know, and if you've been married for like 50 years, it's not going to be as aggressive as that.
No.
So I've been told anyways. So anyways, the gardener that created the Midnighter originally summoned him back to the space station because she got beat up, explained what happened, and then at the final part of the issue said, oh, by the way, I did create you, and I remember how I told you that your previous life, and I don't understand what that means, was completely erased. Actually, I did keep one of your original files on you, and the person who came in here and took all of our stuff also took your original file of your past life. So if you want them, you need to go find them.
Interesting.
And it seems to be that the Midnighter hates the gardener, by the way. He does not like her at all.
Right.
So,
very interesting.
Good book. I liked it. I definitely, it's been worthy for now. Yep, it's definitely been worthy at this point.
Very cool, very cool.
Yeah, it was gritty, it was a good story. It flowed very, very well. The only thing I didn't like was the introductory part of it, where the fight starts. It was a little off balance. I couldn't tell what was going on. I still don't know why those people even attacked, so I was a little confused there. But beyond that, it was really smooth.
Gotcha.
Midnighter number one by Orlando, and then Akko, and then the Fajardo Jr.
Yeah, names. I can't do names either.
Those are names. So check it out.
All right. Well, my first book is also DC. Batman Beyond, number one. By Dan Jurgens and Chang and Maialo. Sure. And Jurgens is known for his Superman stuff back in the 80s and 90s. This book was interesting. It is, for those who don't know what happens in Future's End, it is not Terry McGinnis from the cartoon anymore, who is the Batman Beyond. It is actually Tim Drake, which is the third Robin, who was older at this point in the Future's End storyline. He was very much like a late 20s, early 30s, instead of eternally like 21 or whatever he was. And he was a little more grittier, and it was kind of cool. He ends up back in the Batman Beyond universe with, and the suit has Alfred built into it as almost like a robotic guide for him. And he's like, yeah, no, this is Gotham, 100%, but this is not the correct Gotham. Something is off. And, you know, he goes and visits, like, Terry's little brother, and he's, like, all upset that Terry's gone. He's like, I get it, you got the suit, he died, he saved all of us, I understand. But the kid, I wonder if they're going to make the kid evil at some point, because he's young, but he's like, why didn't I get the suit? I got the suit. So, like, there's this seed planted that somewhere down the line, I could see him trying to either create a suit to fight him, or something like that.
Or his sidekick.
Yeah, he'll be Robin Beyond. The superheroes are, like, nowhere to be found in this universe. And you're like, where's the Justice League? And Alfred's like, well, they may have been taken. You find out what that means at the end. He bumps into Superman, who is half robotic and taken over by Brother Eye. So he's whooping him because he's Superman. And it is the original Superman, but just with parts missing. He's like, his torso and up is pretty original. You can see a robotic skull. So it looks like he's pretty much robotic underneath, but he still has most of his powers. He does end up temporarily beating him. He short circuits his whole suit to short circuit the robotic part of him.
So which makes sense.
Superman has to retreat briefly.
Right.
But he can't keep the suit on. And he finds this location that looks like a prison. He can't tell if it's a prison camp or just like a bunch of people hiding out and gathering in this secret location he stumbles upon through plot devices. And he gets in there. He can't keep the suit on. So he's like, well, screw it. I'll just hide in plain sight. And he goes in to this compound. And at the end, it's revealed that Barbara Gordon is there. Old Barbara Gordon. She's older. So you're kind of questioning it at this point. You're like, is she good? Is she bad? What is this place really? Are they all prisoners here? Or is this just made to look that way? And she's like secretly running things. She's going to have like this counterattack against Brother Eye. You have no idea. You're really confused. You're under the impression more that they're prisoners because Superman was like right there.
Right.
But then you're not sure, like, did he find Batman and that's why he was right there?
Right. Was it so confusing that it didn't make any sense?
No, I don't think it was so confusing it didn't make sense, because it's definitely meant to be going forward. I remember reading that this book was supposed to take place in a different universe. They said the Kamandi universe, which Kamandi was a Kirby book back in the 70s, ran like 30 issues maybe, about the last boy on Earth. It's very Planet of the Apes kind of feel, where it's like there's these big mutant kind of creatures, and nobody's really humanoid, and they're all trying to kill him. There was a great nod, if you know Kamandi, there's a panel, because he flies through New York, and New York's underwater. He flies by the Statue of Liberty in this really dark and gritty panel. If you know Kamandi, it's basically he's flying through the cover of issue, I think it's one, where it has, Kamandi is the name of the boy. He's in a boat rowing in that same panel in issue one. So it was a nice nod.
Nice.
But you'd have to really know that.
Right.
I just happened to know Kamandi, so I was like, cool.
That's funny.
But they didn't really set that up yet, but it is probably where they're going with it. And I enjoyed the book. I don't know that I want to read it going forward. I like Batman Beyond, and I love Tim Drake, but I don't know that I'm down for this combo.
Yeah.
It's not terrible. I think everybody should check it out. I don't know if it's necessarily for me, though. Fair. But it is good.
Fair.
All right.
All right.
What you got for me?
Last two. Inferno, number one, Secret Wars, trying to force me to read stuff.
We agreed we would bite the bullet on this one.
We agreed that we would bite the bullet. So, Inferno number one, I really liked it. Yeah. I thought it was really good.
Which pisses me off
just a little bit, but I didn't, you know, I had to find things I didn't like about it just so I can say I didn't like it. But, sure. No, it was good. It was a great X-Men team, first of all.
Okay.
It was centered around Boom Boom, Domino, Colossus, Nightcrawler.
Okay.
All right. Every year, so basically what happened in this part of the world of Battle World is that the X-Men went into Inferno. They lost. They failed. Inferno won. They got out of Inferno. They left Magic behind because she just couldn't, you know, she's Magic. She's, of course, going to get left behind because she's all about it.
You just go without me. What are you talking about? We could leave. No. Just
you have all. Leave me here.
Go on with it.
So they leave, but they were able to erect like some sort of force bubble around that area. So the Limbo is always stuck in this one area. The Empire State Building is the center of that whole entire situation.
Okay.
So you can live your life in New York, just not in that near that bubble. So like every day you wake up in New York, you're always going to see the Demon Tower, but you're never going to have to interact with it.
Hmm.
So Colossus said, I'll make a deal with you, which is to Scott Summers, to Cyclops, and says, look, I'll fight with you for a year, every year. But at the end of the year, you have to let me go back in there to try and save my sister. So the pact is set up that way that every year he's allowed to send a team of X-Men back in and try to get his sister. It's been like 4 years. Every year, most people don't make it back.
Mm.
Right? This year, they send Jean Grey, Cyclops in with Colossus. And Cyclops gets his spine severed.
Wow.
And Jean Grey freaks out, becomes semi-Phoenix-y, blows up stuff. They make it out. But Colossus, they found the reason they got so crazy is because they actually found magic this time. They were like, right there she is.
Mm-hmm.
So while that was happening, Colossus went to go find the sister, found her, and he was like, I'm here to take you home. And he was in his metal form. And he's like, oh, maybe you don't recognize me, because she wasn't responding. So he de-metals, and she then turns like, no, I can see you just fine. And she turns into her demon form and grabs his arm and starts twisting it and like completely Shrekking it. And he tries to turn into metal at the same time. So something happens. You don't know what happened. Kind of panel next, they're back home. Cyclops is in Professor X's wheelchair because there's no Professor X. Because
you saw that coming.
Yes, we all saw that coming. There's no Professor X to begin with, so this must be like the next step. You see Colossus is consistently stays in his metal form, and his arm is just in some kind of a weird cast. Mm. But you can kind of see that his entire arm is completely wrapped and like everything's turned and twisted. Anyways, his lover for this...
That must have been fun to draw.
It must have been. I think so, too. I think so. It was a great panel.
Yeah.
His lover in this is Domino.
Okay.
So it's Domino and Colossus are the lovers for this one. This year, they're going to go send the team back in again, and Cyclops is like, no, we're done here. Like, I almost died. You know, Jean Grey freaked out. Your sister obviously is dead to us. Stop trying to go back in there. And so, Nightcrawler, Boom Boom, Domino, they're like, you made a promise, so we're going to go in with him this year, and it'll be the last time we ever do it, and never again. So they go in, they're fighting, they're doing a really good job, and then all of a sudden the big bad guy comes, and he, like, Shreks Domino completely, like, rips something out of her, like, I think her guts or something. It was bad.
Yeah.
You can't tell if she's dead yet or not, but it sounds pretty dead to me.
Right.
Magic is there in her demon form. She takes Nightcrawler. It's like, oh, a pet. And so takes Nightcrawler, and then Domino and Colossus are fighting off the rest of the demons. And then at some point, the demons are overrunning them, and Domino's looking like she's about to get completely destroyed and killed. So you're like, all right, well, that was great. First issue was all over. And then who shows up? Havoc and Madeline Pryor as the Goblin Queen and the Goblin King. And they've come to, I think they're trying to reclaim or claim Limbo. Mm. And so they're willing to help Colossus and Domino.
Interesting.
Potentially Boom Boom if she's still alive, which it doesn't look like it.
Hmm.
Overall, again, I thought it was a great... The ending was very... Having Goblin Queen, Madeline Pryor, and Havoc show up completely threw me off. Even though she's on the cover, I completely forgot about her because you don't think about her. And actually, I saw Jean Grey in the beginning. I was like, oh, that must be Jean Grey. Right. But then I wasn't expecting Madeline Pryor to show up.
It was so obvious,
yes.
No one saw it coming. Right,
that's what it was. It was so obvious.
Because I look at that cover and I'm like, maybe it is Jean... Like, I had the same thought. I'm like, I wonder... If that's Madeline Pryor or if it's Jean Grey.
Yeah, it was good. It was very awesome. So, I thought it was a great book. I didn't really care for the look of Colossus. He has like a, I don't know, like a mini afro, but not an afro. It doesn't make any sense to me how he has that hair while he's in his metal form.
Huh.
Weird. Yeah, it didn't really make sense to me. And I also can't tell how old he is. He looks very much more like an older teenager when he's not in his metal form.
Interesting.
Yeah. So, unfortunately, it was good. I definitely recommend that if you're going to stick around and play around in the Secret Wars universe, you should at least check out Inferno. I won't be there with you with that journey, but you should at least go check it out.
That's fantastic. You know, I was thinking maybe we should do a Secret Wars special at some point and just talk about a couple more of these books once we've read a few more and just kind of weigh in on it. Like, we could talk about this again, but maybe not in as much detail.
Sure.
I think maybe the fans would enjoy that.
Yeah, I agree. I'll pick out Inferno number 4 and see what happens. Just see
how it ends.
Just to see how it ends.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. Well, so, final review for me, which is the reason I'm leaving Marvel, is...
This is the one that did it, huh?
Yeah. Image, comic book, Death Vigil by Steven Sajic. Holy monkey. It's still amazing.
Yeah. You it's love such a good. Steven
I really Sajic. Do. I would have at least two of his babies. And I just don't know why he's so good. I don't get it. But everything he writes Packed with the Devil and everything he draws and everything he paints, is the story, the art, everything. Anything he touches right now is gold, as far as I'm concerned. So it starts off number 7. If you guys remember any of the old stuff that I was talking about, you know, the main Death Reaper, she got her scythes taken away by the bad guy, and you learn through a bunch of plot that basically she's trying to resurrect her daughter. And the whole reason this fight's even happening is because the previous Death Reaper, she chose not to bring, you think she chooses not to bring her daughter back, and so she always has a grudge against against this lady. So it turns out, though, that she couldn't revive the girl because the girl was long gone dead. But of course, she doesn't want to believe that because, you know, that's her daughter, and she just thinks that the other girl was being a jerk or whatever. So a lot of cool things happen. The bad guy becomes one of the main things about holding one of these weapons is that your hair turns all white. The bad guy's hair turns completely white. She starts to take on some of the attributes of being a person that has one of the Veil Reaper weapons. And another cool thing is that on the last episode, you think that one of the guys dies. Apparently he didn't die, or no, he's about to die. And then Clara, who is the newest member, goes into his mind and somehow saves him. But then you find out for sure that you weren't sure completely, but you do know through this now that she definitely has some sort of demonic power. Like, that's her.
Oh, wow.
And so this right here has shown up like once or twice, but you weren't sure if that really was a part of her or not. But now you know for sure that it is. Okay. So she is something more than what we all think she is. Well, we still don't know what that is. Mm-hmm. The story continues. You get a little bit more romance between Clara and one of the girls that she saved earlier in the book. You also get to reunite with the person that killed Clara to begin with, which was the ex-boyfriend that killed her, which led to her transformation into a Veil Reaper. You find out that the boyfriend was being possessed by a demon as well.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so she didn't know that, but she still doesn't like him, so...
Sucks for him.
Yeah, sucks for him. And at the very end, you realize that there was never a daughter. What they're trying... She doesn't know this. Her mind is so fractured, the mother, that she's trying to save something that isn't really there. But what she's trying to revive is actually a primordial demon.
What?
So the whole purpose of her getting the scythe, she was manipulated the entire time by a primordial. And once she performs this ritual that she needs to perform, it's actually going to bring back this true primordial.
Sweet.
Yeah.
So this has, what, one more issue to go?
I don't know. Is this supposed to be an 8 run? A while?
I felt like it was.
Really?
Yeah.
That's interesting.
I know it's limited, but sometimes they change that and they're like, oh, this is a hit. Let's keep it going.
Right. Yeah, I have no idea, and I also don't care. I'm going to read it until it's done.
Oh, I just wanted to know because I want to read the trade when it's all done.
Gotcha. Oh, my goodness. It's so good.
Yeah, I like his art. I like that, like, the inside of this, it's like gold border along. It's like just different. The setup, the panels, the little things. I can really appreciate
it. Yeah, his art is amazing. The way he draws, everything is
great. I'm not surprised, though, like, when he's doing everything, like, yeah, it's going to have a unique setup. Like, you don't have to convey to an artist what you're thinking as a writer. It's like, no, I'm just going to do this, and here it is.
Right, and this is exactly how I want it to look. Yeah, it's good. It's really good. It's hip as well. Like, it's not like, I don't know. It just feels modern. It just, all of it feels very modern, like what I would really be into. So.
Nice.
Yeah. And they feel like real people, too. That's the other thing I love about whatever he does. It makes you feel like they're a regular person.
And he's really good at doing that in a short amount of time.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Rat Queens, he didn't have those characters very long, and he added a ton of personality to them.
He did. So
I definitely agree with that.
Yeah. So, Steven Sajic, I need to get him on an interview or something, because I love this guy.
Cool.
That's it. Cool. I'm done.
I'm done too.
All right.
Well, that's it then.
That's it.
Any parting words for the listeners?
No.
Cool. Well, no. Thank you for listening. Make sure you check us out on Facebook, Twitter, iTunes, all of those good things. CapesandScalesPodcast.com. And I appreciate you listening. Leander appreciates it too. Lou, yeah, not so much. He couldn't be bothered to show up today. No, I'm just kidding. Lou was already booked,
yes,
so to speak.
Yes.
So that's that. And I thank you for listening, and we'll see you guys next time.
Love you, miss you.
Aw.
What's she gonna do? Hit me with her diaper?
I'll show you, you overgrown!